And I would like to spend the morning looking at the life of Samson a little bit. The life of Samson, and here are some there's so much we could learn from his life, but I would like to zero in on how Samson was a very distracted individual. In our day, there are so many lights and the glamour is everywhere and so many things to be catching our attention and to be drawing us in. And if we're not careful, we will go through life being very distracted and we will be missing God's will for our lives and what He wants to accomplish through us. And so we must be very careful about being distracted. I can think of a situation, was it this past winter or the previous winter, up at camp that I was out in the woods getting firewood. And I came upon a tree where it was kind of Y-shaped from the stump, from the bottom, and it was a dead tree. And I go around the property and collect the dead wood so that I can burn that and keep us warm in the winter. And I came upon this tree where it was quite a good size. It was all dead, and there were several different trunks going up. And I looked at that, and I thought, this looks like some decent wood. It turned out it wasn't that good anyway, but this looks like it'll be decent wood and everything. But if I go for that tree, I'm going to have to be very, very careful. Because on that tree, it was broken off about halfway up, and it was at one time a large tree, and then there were several logs that were down, but leaning up against those that were still standing. And I thought, that's a very precarious situation. And so if I do cut this tree down at the bottom, I need to be watching. I can't be distracted. I need to be watching for those who are that's leaning against the other trunks. And so I started. My chainsaw was going. I was cutting off there at the base, and things were going very well. I had a plan and how this, I was trying to get this one to fall so that one would fall and so forth. And I had just a little bit left to go, and I stepped back. You always want to do that. You want to step back and check, is this still going to go as planned? And so I had just a fraction remaining, step back, check, and I thought, all right, let's see if we can finish this. And so I went over there and finished it off. And sure enough, the trunk on the left began to fall exactly where I wanted it to go. And that was going, but I knew I need to keep my eye on that trunk on the right side. If I'm distracted, it could be fatal. And so I looked up and I saw, and sure enough, that trunk was growing. And it was growing very fast. And I'd never seen a dead tree grow that fast. And sure enough, that tree was coming right toward me. And so instinct kicked in at that moment, and I sidestepped, and just a second later, I felt the ground thump beside my boot, and it was that close. And I thought, wow, you know, you do one of those things, and you just drop the chainsaw, and you listen to the quietness of the woods at that moment, and say, thank you, Lord. Now, my mom is in the auditorium, and sorry, Mom, I shouldn't share a story like that, but the Lord protects, and He is good. And sure enough, there was a situation where I could have experienced death by distraction. And I would like to preach a message entitled this morning, Death by Distraction. This is a very serious matter, friends, to be distracted by the world and miss what God wants for your life. Death by distraction. Here, the life of Samson, we clearly see a distracted man. And I would like to point out some of those things here this morning. Samson was a judge many, many years ago. He was a judge over the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel in Bible times was going through a very volatile time. They were flip-flopping back and forth between serving Jehovah and serving false gods. And God was bringing judges into their way to direct them toward Jehovah, the one true God. Samson was not one of those very good judges. He had some problems. He had some distractions. And I would like us to notice some of those things and how they, if we allow them in our lives today, will be very fatal. Death by distraction. You and I this morning must recognize and remove the distractions from our lives that are keeping us from serving God. Let's begin reading in Judges chapter 14, verse 1. It says, "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, 'I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife.' And his father and his mother said unto him, 'Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistine?' And Samson said unto his father, 'Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well.'" Now, I don't know the exact voice inflection. Maybe I kind of made it my own there, but this seems like a situation that's very unfortunate. I mean, here is a young man kind of demanding that his parents do what he wants them to do. And Samson, right off the bat here, as we start to see the beginning of his ministry and what God was having him do, or wanting him to do, rather, we see that he's having problems right here already. He's kind of beginning to become distracted. And here we see distraction by women. It sounds like he was distracted by more than one woman already. It says his parents answered him, "Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren?" And so here we see, number one, I want you to notice the road to distraction. Here was a situation coming up in Samson's life that was getting him on a bad way, getting him on a bad road. And along that road, there are several things that we need to take note of that he was being distracted by. One of them was women. But I want you to notice what is happening here more specifically. Notice that he wanted to marry a woman from the Philistines. Now, the Philistines were not God's people. They were Gentiles, and they were worshiping false gods. They really, for their sin, did not have God's blessing on their nation, and so they were not God's people. And God had instructed his people to stay away from those who are not the chosen Israelites. And we would see that back in the book of Deuteronomy. So back in Deuteronomy chapter 7 something, there God specifically told in the law of Moses that the people of Israel were not supposed to be marrying those outside of Israel. But here, Samson wants to do that very thing. Was that God's will for him? I don't believe so. Now, it's interesting what the Bible says not far from this, verse 4, "But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel." Was it God's will that he would go and marry a Philistine? No, I do not believe so, because God's law, God's word, already said don't do that. But what we see happening here is God was going to take a bad choice that Samson was going to do, and he was still going to use it for his glory, for an occasion against the enemies of God. And so we see here, number one, on the road to distraction, that Samson was making the word of God in his life a low priority. Friends, we start on a road to distraction in our lives when we are making the word of God a low priority. God had already told Samson and everyone, all the Israelites there, what they were supposed to do in this particular matter. But Samson didn't care. Samson said, "Okay, well, that's the law of God. That's what Moses has taught our people. But you know what? I want to do my own thing in spite of what God's word says." Friends, we will go on that road. We will become a distracted individual if we are not going to this book and making it top priority in our lives. I want to ask you, how often do you read this book? How often do you get into these pages to see what your Creator, Almighty God, has to say about the life that you are living in? How often? How much is this book saturating your life? Or are you like Samson, making this book a low priority? Friends, we need to be in this book daily. You may say, well, my schedule doesn't allow for it. You need to find a way. It's that important. This book needs to be a high priority. You say, well, you still don't understand my schedule, Dan. Well, no, I don't. But I do know that you will become a distracted individual. You will get off the right path if you are not saturating your life with God's truths. Samson made the Bible a low priority, the Scripture, God's Word, a low priority in his life. So you will be a distracted person in this life if you do that. You will also be a distracted individual if you continue on in these other ways that Samson was. Notice next, chapter 14. We're already in chapter 14, but specifically verses 5 and 6. And Samson went down to his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. So he confronted this wild animal, a lion, and God's Spirit came mightily upon him, and he was victorious, and won over that beast. Interesting. Notice also now later in the life of Samson, chapter 14, verse 19. We don't have time. We're trying to cover a bunch of chapters here, so we don't have time to read it all. But I'll do my best to help you understand what is happening through his life as we move through it. So we're going to look at verse 19 next, but what happened between what we just read and verse 19 is he went to take this wife, and he was going to have a party for the wedding and everything leading up to it, and he put forth a riddle. He was having fun with all the other guys there and put forth this riddle. They couldn't figure out the riddle. The Philistines got angry. There was animosity happening, bad situation, and they found out the riddle because they kind of cornered his wife and got her to tell him, got her to give them the answer through Samson. So this is how Samson responded, verse 19. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. And then verse 20, sadly, it says there, you know, things weren't working out for him. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. He was trusting in the wrong kind of people. But we see what's happening here now. Samson went and killed these 30 men so he could get the clothing and these garments to then pay back what he owed for this riddle that he had gotten himself into. So notice, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him when he encountered the lion. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him again. The strength that he had, this physical strength, to then slay 30 of the enemies of Israel. And that took place. Skip further down into the life of Samson, chapter 15, verses 14 through 17, we would see how God used Samson. In spite of himself, he used Samson to slay 1,000 men, to kill 1,000 men of the enemies of God. That took place. And verses 14 through 17, we would read, and when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. There you hear it again. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax and was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called the place Ramoth-Lehi. And now, verse 18, we'll see it happening again. And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God, in his mercy, I'm putting that in there, clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. We would also see how God here quenched his thirst then after this great victory. And so God is intervening, even when this man, who's very distracted, does not deserve it. God is intervening and God is using him and bringing good out of bad choices. What we see happening time after time is the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Samson. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. He kills a lion. And the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him over here and then over here again. And what's happening is we see that Samson's relationship with God was pretty shallow. It would come upon him here. God would help him here. But he wasn't walking with God. He was trying to do his own thing. He was doing what he wanted to do instead of walking daily with the Lord. And his relationship was shallow. His relationship was just for emergencies. And friends, we need to understand that we are distracted people. We are on this road to distraction and destruction if our relationship with the Lord is only for emergencies. Oh, I have a health issue all of a sudden. Well, now I'll pray. Now I'll turn to the Lord. Or, oh, I'm in a financial difficult situation and now, God, will you save me? What's your relationship with God like this morning? Is it only for emergencies? It's sad how prevalent this is in our day. Remember after 9/11? Everyone wanted to pray then. Everyone wanted to sing God Bless America then. But that's because, as a nation, our relationship with God was only for the emergencies. What about your relationship with God this morning? Let me ask you, do you have a relationship with God? The Bible teaches us that we are all sinners. Sin separates us from God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. Naturally, we are sinners. We want to do our own thing instead of God's way, and we do not want God. Naturally, that's how it is. We are bent towards sinning. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The Bible teaches us that we are sinners, and there is a punishment for that sin, and it is death. And so that's our situation. Naturally, we don't have a relationship with God because we cannot fellowship with Him. He's light. We're darkness. We're sinful. We've broken His law. At some point in our lives, we've all told a lie. Maybe we've taken something we shouldn't. We've had thoughts that are wrong. We've been selfish. We've been cruel maybe to someone. And that is sin, and it separates us from a holy God. And unless that sin is forgiven in your life, friend, you will spend eternity separated from God. The Bible teaches us about a place called hell, and it is real. And it is not a place where there will be a party going on. It is a place of torment and pain and fire. A place that the sinners who go there will never get out. But the Bible teaches us the hope that we were thinking about yesterday here together. It teaches us that that's not the way it has to be for you. Yes, you are a sinner. Yes, you are separated from Almighty Holy God because of your sin. But God loved you so much that He made a way that you can have your sins forgiven. And that way is through Jesus. The Bible does say, for the wages of sin is death. Then it goes on and says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Jesus is the way that you can have that gift of eternal life. It's through Him. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that's Jesus, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So what does it mean to believe in Jesus? Does that mean to simply believe that He was real? No. What it means is to trust in Jesus, to depend upon Jesus. You see, Jesus died in your place. many years ago. He died in your place. He took your death for you. He took your punishment. And he did that in his love for you, a sinner who didn't deserve someone to take your place. He took your place in his love, and the Bible teaches us that all we must do is depend upon what he did, not what we can try to do ourselves. Many people in our day are trying to be good people. They're trying to live a good life, hoping that someday God will forgive them of their sins because of how good they live this life. And that will never work. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, if we could earn our way to heaven, if we could earn God's forgiveness, we would be proud about it. And that in and of itself is sin. We would boast about it. And God's word says that it's nothing you and I can do to earn God's forgiveness ourselves. It is only what Jesus Christ has already done. And for you to be able to receive that gift of everlasting life, you, at some point in your life, must make the choice that you are going to depend upon Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sins. Have you ever made that choice? The Bible teaches us that Jesus died in our place, he was buried, and he rose again the third day after they buried him, and he came back to life. And he is alive today, showing us through his own power, God himself, Jesus, through his own power, is able to give you the gift of everlasting life. And Jesus is alive today, and he's offering to you, friend, that gift of life. If you don't take that gift, then you're resigning yourself to what you already have, death. Someday you will die physically, but the Bible teaches about spiritual death, and that is separation from God for all of eternity. God is a just God. He must punish sin because of who he is. He's holy. But he's also a loving God. And he has provided a way that you can escape death, friend. You can have the forgiveness of Almighty God, but it's only found through Jesus. Have you ever made the choice in your life to begin your relationship with God? Have you ever made the choice in your life to trust in Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sins? And so we see that a relationship with God is very important. And God intends for us to have a relationship with him that is a daily walk. Not something that's just for emergencies, like sadly Samson's relationship was. So he was a very distracted individual. His relationship was just with God was just for emergencies. He was making the Word of God a low priority in his life. And throughout his life, we would see that he was so obsessed with his own selfish desires. Through the whole riddle situation, if you were to take time to read that, you'd see how it's just all about him and what he wanted the whole time. All about him. And then later in his life, his wife or future bride in Timnath was murdered. The situation was just all terrible and falling apart. And for revenge, his wife was murdered. The way he responded to it in his flesh, once again, was just very selfish. He was obsessed with his own desires. Later in chapter 16, verse 1, just read that with me there. It says, "And when Samson went to Gaza, he saw there an harlot and went in unto her." You see what's happening there? He's now getting into this muck and mess of being involved with a prostitute and this harlot. And I'm telling you, this man was distracted and he was getting himself deeper and deeper into sin. He was obsessed with his own desires. Then, not too long after that thing here in verse 4 of chapter 16, "And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman," here we go again, "in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And if you can remember the story of Samson, you would remember this whole thing that then began to unfold with Delilah. And then even at the end of his life, when it got to the point to where he had gone so far into sin that now death was at his door. Even at the very end of his life, it's so interesting how in verse 28 of chapter 16, how he mentions his two eyes. You see, the Philistines had blinded him after they captured him. The enemies of God were torturing him. And they put out his eyes, the Bible says. It's a gruesome thought. But then in verse 28, he mentions how he wanted to be avenged of his two eyes. It says, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." I don't know exactly what was in his heart in that whole statement, but it's possible that even in that, one of those final statements that Samson made in his life, he was still obsessed with his own desires. My two eyes. And so we see how these are some of the things that you will encounter on the road to distraction. The Bible is not a high priority in your life. Your relationship with God, if it exists, is only for the emergencies. And you're obsessed with everything that is your own desire. Now, let's briefly mention the result. If you allow yourself to go down that road in life, the result we see happening in Samson's life is that he became blind to the deceit of the enemy. You remember Delilah? There she was, time after time, trying to find the secret of his great strength. And we look at that and read it, and it's like, Samson, wake up! You're being blinded to the deceit around you, and you are going to fall prey to it. And that's exactly what happened. He became blind to the deceit of the enemy. And if you are so infatuated with the things of this world, distracted by all the lights and the glamour that the devil has for you to be involved in this life, it's going to get your focus off of the eternal things. It's going to get your focus on temporal things. And you will begin to become blind to the deceit of the devil. And there's so many people in our day that are just like that. And as a result, they've gotten themselves into all kinds of things that are going to destroy their lives. Blindness to the deceit of the enemy. Eventually, in his life, it resulted in death. He ended up dying in bondage to the enemy. And then finally, we would see the result of his distraction, how at the end of his life, as you think about it as a whole, he ended up accomplishing very little with his life. That will be the result of you living a distracted life. Ultimately, I believe it will lead you to a road that results in that. Accomplishing very little. Do you want to accomplish great things for God? Lay up treasures in store for eternity? Or just accomplish temporal things? Don't be distracted in this life. You be focused on what God has called you to do. Samson could have accomplished so much more for the Lord. Now, as we close this morning, I want us to turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. You've been listening very well this morning, and I thank you for paying close attention and listening to the truths of God's Word. Let's finish up now in Proverbs chapter 4. And there's some neat verses here that help us to see the remedy for distraction. Let's not be a distracted people. Let's make sure we are doing what God wants us to be doing. And here in Proverbs chapter 4, right at the end of the chapter, we see these three verses. Verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. I want you to see here in this passage as we close, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 25 through 27. First of all, we need to stop looking at the distractions. Stop looking at the distractions. It says, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. You see, the devil wants us to look this way. And he wants us to look that way. He wants our eyes to get glued on the things of this world, whether it's a TV show or a video game or a person or a position or something. And we get our eyes distracted by those things. And God's word says, let thine eyes look straight on. Friend, stop looking at the distractions. That's something that you're going to have to make a choice with your two eyes. Don't look there any longer. If it is something that is outside of God's will for your life, then turn away from it and get your eyes focused back on the cross and the calling that that symbol represents for you to take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ. Stop looking at the distractions. David looked at a distraction one day and got himself into all kinds of sin when he noticed Bathsheba. Stop looking at the distractions. The Bible says in Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Proverbs chapter 4, this same passage we're in, verse 23, just right before where we read, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. One of the main ways that your heart is affected in your life as you navigate through life is by the things you're looking at. Stop looking at the distractions, friends. But then verse 26, it says, ponder or consider well the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Stop looking at the distractions and start considering your direction. I want you to this morning think about where are you going to be maybe 5 years from now? Where are you going to be maybe 20 years from now if the Lord has that for you? Where are you going to be? What is your direction? And we need to have times in our lives where we consider well. We ponder the way we are headed and we look for the things that may be pitfalls and we choose to avoid those things. Let all thy ways be established. Where are you headed in this life? Start considering your direction and choose God's way. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 8, that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I don't want to go through life like that. And so we need to be stable. We need to be established. But not if we're double-minded. It won't happen. And so we need to consider our direction. And then finally, in verse 27 here of Proverbs chapter 4, as we finish, it says, turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Stay committed to the decision to follow Christ. Stay committed to the decision, friend. There are going to be times in your life where you are distracted and looking around and you're saying, boy, there's a lot of neat options and I want to do this or I want to do that. But you know deep down God has called you to serve Him. You are bought with a price. God has shed His blood in your place and you need to recognize that God wants you and you must give yourself to Him. Stay committed to the decision to follow Christ. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Will you win Christ with your life? Will you lay up treasures for eternity? Or will you, at the end of your life, when you stand before God, realize everything I invested myself into, all that I involved myself in, it ends up being wood, hay, and stubble. Friends, we must be so careful that we are not distracted in this life. Are you a distracted person because you're making the Word of God a low priority? Are you just a distracted person because your relationship with God is just for emergencies? Let's be sure that we are answering the call that God has for our lives and being faithful to that. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Lord, We are going to start an invitation time here now. And I ask that you would take this time and use it, and that your Spirit would convict in whatever way is needed. Now, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, this is a private time. This is what we would call an invitation. And we are going to be having some music soon. We're going to be closing the service out soon. We're going to be moving on and heading home. But I want you to leave doing what God wants you to do with His truths. And so that's why we have this invitation time. And I want to give you now, in the privacy of your seat, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I want to give you the opportunity to respond to God. He's speaking to us as we hear His word preached. And so would you respond to God today? And I want to ask a few questions this morning as we close our service in this private time. Would there maybe be someone here today, you would say, Brother Dan, you were talking about a relationship with God, and this morning I am not sure that my sins are forgiven. I am not sure that I ever have made that choice in my life to depend upon Jesus alone for that forgiveness. Is there anyone here this morning who would say, Brother Dan, that's me? I don't mean to embarrass you or point you out, but if that's you this morning, in the privacy of this moment, would you just slip your hand up quickly and put it down? I want to be able to pray for you. I want to be able to pray for you that you would continue to seek the Lord in this matter. Anyone like that at all, just slip your hand up and put it back down. I'm not going to pray for you by name. Thank you. I see that hand. You may put your hand down. Anyone else? Anyone else? I don't know for sure that my sins are forgiven today, and I need the Lord. Anyone at all, just slip your hand up. Anyone else? Thank you. You may put your hand down. Anyone else? All right, I want to ask another question as we close here. Are there some folks here you'd say, you know, the Lord convicted me about something in my life that is distraction? I'm concerned that I'm missing something that God wants for me because of this thing, and I don't want to be distracted like Samson. I don't want to go down that road that is so fatal. And this may be something in my life that the Lord brought to my mind that could be a distraction, and I want to do business with the Lord over that thing. Would there be some here this morning to say, Brother Dan, the Lord pointed out a distraction in my life. Would you raise your hand before Him? Amen. Praise the Lord. Any more? Any more? This morning, just slip your hands up before the Lord. Amen. Good job. You may put your hands down. Anyone else? Anyone else? The Lord showed me a distraction in my life. All right, let's please stand to our feet with our heads bowed. I'm going to pray, and we'll close the service here shortly. Lord, I ask during this invitation time that You would do as You want and lead us, and that we would be very tender to Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray. With our heads bowed and eyes closed still, in this